I would invite you to turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13. We have a passage here that is very widely known as the love chapter. And it's known that way because it represents what the Bible has to say about the subject of love. And its definition of what it is and what it's not. So when Pastor asked me to speak in preparation for this Wednesday, the Lord has been teaching me this lesson. And yet, as time has progressed in our lives for the last 4 weeks, if you had not known, my family and I went to China 4 weeks ago, and we came home 2 weeks ago with a little girl named Piper. And so through that process, people have been asking, well, what's Piper's story? And it's been amazing to see how God has instilled a thought in our hearts and then taught us this thought of basically sharing Piper's story, of bringing Piper home. And so as we look into this passage and we understand the story, I personally want to thank you. I want to thank you as my church family for the encouragement that you guys have provided, for the encouragement to keep on keeping on. It is certainly a road that we had never traveled before, with kind of blindly, if you may, but I cannot thank you enough for just your encouragement overall. It was truly a blessing. I know that we would not have been able to go into this journey without your prayers, your financial support, and just overall ongoing encouragement. It was awesome to come home and know that people were praying for us, and we saw God's hand move every single step of the way. I had been studying the book of Exodus, and there is in the story of when the children of Israel are leaving Egypt, if you see the phrase that says, "And the heart of Pharaoh was in God's hand." And that was exactly my prayer for the Lord. And I would ask for the same, that the heart of Piper would be in God's hand, that God would move in a great way, that we would just simply stand back and say, wow, only God could have done this. And that's indeed what has happened. We also want to thank you for a week ago Sunday for just loving on her and, you know, and learning ni hao and saying hello in Chinese. And she is picking up English now that nobody else can speak Chinese, like nobody's business. So she's starting to repeat, a lot and starting to connect the thoughts together. But it's with that thought that I want us to look at this passage of scripture. And when you see the word charity in this passage, I want you to mentally swap the word with the word love. And so as we're going to read it, but for as an introduction, I want you to draw your attention to verse number 8. And that is, love never fails. Excuse me. In the thought of love never failing, We are brought to that theme, if you may, and my wife chose it as a theme. I did not discuss it with her, but right before I left, I don't know if you've heard of the such thing as called hashtag. People hashtag their pictures and they categorize them this way. And God gave me three hashtags. One was bringing Piper home. The other one is the living by faith is the best. And then last one is 1 Corinthians 13, love never fails. And I don't know why she chose that. We never discuss it. But it was incredible to see God unfold this phrase right here in verse 8 of chapter 13, that love never fails. And yes, the question has been asked, well, why did you guys adopt? If you did not know, I grew up in Dominican Republic, and adoption is the last thing in our culture. I even had good Christian Dominican friends ask me a couple months ago, what were you guys thinking? Where did this come from? This is not something that we do. This is not something that is common. Why? And yes, I can point them to James 1:27, that the Bible says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. And I would be lying if I stood here and I said that verse was not used by God in our lives. That's not the case. He indeed used that verse in our life. But it actually started about 5 years ago. Never in our marriage did or as a family did we ever discuss the thought of adopting. I love hearing now stories of people sharing, hey, even before they're married, they're talking about adopting, and that's awesome. But for what happened 5 years ago was that Becky Collier, Mrs. Scheffler, little Reuben, and I, we were leaving to go to China to teach English as a second language. Now, before you laugh at that, yes, I know, English is my second language. I said the same thing to God. Why me? But hey, God used us, you know. Yes, Becky and Miss Joy would have been the better options, but you know, we were the bodyguards. But as I was leaving, literally my house to go to the airport, my wife says, "Hey, if you want to bring a little girl in your suitcase, that is totally fine with me." That was the joke, right? Well, me and my wittiness, which I don't have, by the way, I responded and I said, "I might just do that." Exactly. That's exactly right. Uh-oh. You know, and God used that to literally plant a seed in our hearts. And man, when God plants a seed, you have a choice. You either obey or you disobey. And that's exactly what happened. So literally 2 years later, so about 3 years ago, my wife, being the Holy Spirit in our family, basically we couldn't get away from this thought. And so we submitted an application to adopt a child from China. Now, if you're asking yourself, why China? There's enough children here in South Florida. We had some good people even ask that question flat out, and you're not in the minority. I asked God the same question. I honestly did. I said, "God, why not? I'm from Dominican Republic. There's a lot of need in the Caribbean. Why not a little Dominican kid? Why not a little Haitian kid? Why not a little Colombian kid? There's plenty of opportunities there." And he would not let go of China. I think I even told somebody, if you have a problem with that, go take that up with God. But God in his humor chose a guy from the Caribbean with a girl from Michigan that, if you've seen our kids, they don't look like either, to go adopt a kid that doesn't look like either one of us, that doesn't speak English or Spanish. And by the way, my mom speaks Spanish and she's already trying to teach her Spanish, but you know, I'm saying, my mom, one language at a time. But that is God in his humor to do the impossible. The interesting thing is that 2 years, 3 years ago, when we started, we were denied. We did not meet the criteria. And we were taken back, but God knew in his timing that we were not ready. And come to find out, now that we can see in hindsight, Piper was not adoption ready either. And it was interesting to start putting the thoughts together. However, in the last 18 months, as we started going through once again, and I'll show you in a minute how that happened, we restarted the process and we went through the vetting process. And it's indeed a vetting process. They try to talk you out of adopting. They want to make sure that they're protecting the child from a human trafficking situation. They want to make sure that what you're considering is that you thought it through, and this is not you wake up and hey, I'm going to adopt today, and then they go through all this so that they can tell the Chinese government these people are fit to adopt. In that process, we find out that I can disown my three biological kids, but now that Piper's here, I cannot disown her. She is ours. I mean, it is just like the Bible talks about adoption, that nothing can separate us from the love of God once we're saved. Just the same way with her. And so it's the lessons have been incredible. Something funny happened in that vetting process. They sent us to a psychologist. And Mandy and I, we failed the psych evaluation. I know. I would hope you would fail it too, by the way. They said we were too honest. So they gave us this long list of questions that we were to answer true or false. And not a maybe, not sometimes, no, either true or false. And so when they called us back and said, "You need to explain yourself because you failed. You have double the amount that's allowed of honest answers." And And it was stuff like, if you go to the movies, so you sneak into another theater. Well, when I was younger, maybe, but now that I know it's not right, I don't, you know? So it's like, I guess most of the U.S. population does, so they were expecting us to say, yeah, we sneak in like everybody else, but that's why we failed and that kind of stuff. But it was amazing to see God kind of overcome all that. Even when we were sitting down with the agency that did our home study, they asked us, well, why do you want to adopt? And our short answer was, well, God has put this in our heart and we're going to obey God. And they're expecting, and, well, we are happy with our family and we're satisfied and we're complete, but we want to impact a child for eternity. They did not like that answer. They did not like that answer because they were hoping for us to say, well, we know that our child is out there and we can't live without them. And honestly, we couldn't say that back then. We couldn't say that because we know from God's word that God is our all in all. And when he is your all in all, every other relationship is submitted to that. So yes, we can live and function without those other relationships, but they did not like that answer. And so we had to discuss that. And when they finally felt comfortable, they signed off on us and we were able to continue. And that happened last summer. But it was interesting how that was our sentiment back then. But as I stand here today, and we see the blessing that Piper is in our lives, we can't see life without her. And it's been amazing to see God's grace through that. Well, what started as a joke, really, God did not see it as such. God used the last 2-3 years, really, but really the last two to not only work in our lives, for me as a dad, for my wife as a mom, and for our three kids, because they asked them, hey, are you okay with another child coming in? And Eli is super excited. Mariah was excited. Reuben, come to find out, the Lord had to work on. But I praise God that it was in his timing that all kind of came together. The other interesting link in the chain, if you may, was that exactly 5 years ago, we went in July. She was born May 22nd, 2012. She was born 2 months before we got to China. Now, we were nowhere near where the city that she was born in, but her mom chose that instead of aborting her, chose to keep her. And the other week when Pastor was talking about Moses and how her mom put herself in a situation of danger and putting him in a basket and rescuing him, I saw Piper's story in the same way. Because in China, it is true what they said, and we lived it 5 years ago, that families are only allowed one child. That's been the law since the 70s. They've just changed that this year, but everything is measured. And so every family is only allowed one, and preferably as a boy because it carries the name. So girls are either abandoned, which, by the way, it's illegal. You cannot go to a firehouse and turn in a child like you do here. That doesn't happen. But we praise God for the fact that her mom chose otherwise, did not obey the government, but did otherwise. And God in his timing through the people that we met and the circumstances, as we'll see in a minute with some of the pictures, the day we got her in her face, we started to see the little person that we see in the pictures. But God allowed us to actually meet the policeman that actually picked her up that night. And let me, if I may, read what the report actually said. Because 5 days after she was born, the report was written and translated in this way. At 12:03 a.m., May 27, 2012, the police station of Nanjing City received a call saying that a female infant was left without watching at the door of room 17. The policeman immediately went to the scene, and upon searching, the child's birth parents and other relatives were not found. So the child was sent to our institute on the same day, an orphanage, and the child was wearing infant clothes and was wrapped in a red quilt. So in this picture that you see, that is the day that we actually got her. And I did not notice her face, her expressions from then till just now. And you'll see as we kind of go through them. But it's incredible to see God's mercy take place in not only rescuing her as a baby and then bringing her to an orphanage, But then placing her in the home of a foster family that truly loved her. I mean, when I say these people loved her, these people loved this child. How we noticed that was that she was wearing silver bracelets, one on each hand, and she still does to this day. She had a jade necklace, and jade is not cheap. Yes, it does have a baby Buddha on it, but we saw that these people went out of their way for her. Not only did they do all that, they prepared her for our home. They really did. They taught her what a family structure is. They taught her to say thank you. And they taught her to share. Everything we had to read and prepare for this, most orphans don't share. They're very, they're in survival mode. And so the moment we met her, the day we met her, she was immediately making sure that we had what she was eating, you know. And so we noticed these things and we were just amazed. And we remembered what we had prayed for, that her heart would be in God's hand. Even though she's never heard of Christ to this day. I mean, she now has heard because we pray in Jesus' name. But up to that point, she had not heard. On the next picture, you'll see that on the second day, this is the actual day that we signed the papers, we put our fingerprint, and the Chinese lady there with us, that is the orphanage director. So she brought her, and that's who brought it to her, and it all made it legal. So the first day you receive her, and you have the child for 24 hours, and you are allowed to change your mind. Or the child may say, I don't want to do this, if they're of a certain age. But the next day, then you finally make it official. So we receive her from the Chinese government. And then later on, this is the man and about the location where she was left behind. And this is the policeman that actually received it. And he remembered her from 5 years prior. And so God put it all together. And even our translator was shocked. It's like, I can't believe we actually found the guy. But with all the construction going on, this area, they're building a complex of high rises. And so that fence behind us, it's where all that construction is going on. 5 years ago, it used to be a farming area. So we don't know if her mom or family drove out there and left her or they're from that immediate area. The bottom line is, we don't know. So people ask me, well, do you know about her parents? We don't. And we might never know. And we're okay with that, but it's amazing to see how God has put it all together, because when she was found at 5 days, she was given the name of Shi Xiaoyan. I won't ask you to repeat it, but her last name goes first. It's QI, but they say she, and then Xiaoyan. And so she goes by Xiaoyan, and so we call her Piper Xiaoyan. The she is just a last name that was assigned to her. It identifies her as an adoptive individual. So that's part of the reason why you dropped that. But she began her life in disarray, but yet God protected her, put her in a home that loved her. I believe the next picture will be her foster mom, who we got to meet, and our translator was a little surprised that we even requested this. And when we've talked to other families, they didn't have that opportunity. But we got to meet her and her husband, and she has one son. He's in college. He's a marketing major. And we've been able to share pictures and moments of Piper's first McDonald's, which we did a lot of, first plane ride, first train ride. We even took her to a restaurant. She said, I've never been to a restaurant. But we have been able to see that expression of her first, and it's been tremendous. And so, this family truly did love her. We didn't get to visit with them. We don't know what's their religious background. In China, you're not allowed to believe in anything according to the law. But about 2/3 of the people do have a Buddhist foundation. And so we know that she's being rescued from that. But in all this, God's hand has been in the middle. And that brings me to our first point tonight, and the thought that God laid in our hearts of living by faith is truly the best. Living by faith is the best. This picture is right in front of the U.S. consulate in the city of Guangzhou. And if that name rings a bell, it's because Guangzhou was actually on that show about The Amazing Race. So there was an episode. So if you look up that episode, you'll see about that city. But that's right there, the moment she was about to go in begin or finish the process of becoming a U.S. citizen. So as she sits here, as she stands in this country, she is a full-blown American citizen. And that is truly a work of God of truly living by faith. I'm reminded personally of what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:7 that says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." You see, if it was up to my fears, we would not have gone and done this, honestly. And as you can imagine, for most guys, personally, my number one fear was financial. It's not like I can call up my insurance company and says, "Hey, my wife is pregnant and we're going to have a baby and what's my deductible?" For adoptions, there is no such thing. there is not a deductible for it. And so, God, how are you going to supply the need? And yet, immediately he reminded me of Psalm 37:25 that says, "I've been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken or forgotten, nor their seed begging for bread." And that verse, we couldn't get away from it. We couldn't get away from it. And when God began to challenge us and really kind of bring this to fruition exactly about 18 months ago, the thought from Hebrews 11:6 really resounded in our hearts. And that is, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For as long as Pastor Hunter has been in this church, that has been the resounding thought that I have personally been challenged with. For as long as I have heard him preach from this pulpit, I cannot get away from that thought. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So what happened 18 months ago? 18 months ago, we had revival services, 8:30 service, the first service of the week. I was translating up there in the corner, and Pastor Comfort was preaching the first message. His text was not from Genesis 22. But Genesis 22 is the account of Abraham being called to go sacrifice Isaac. And it's a passage that I love. I had to memorize in high school and college. And it's just a passage that God has used tremendously in my life. So when I say I know Genesis 22, I know Genesis 22. So I was translating, and if I can bring you into the mind of a translation, it's like breathing and spitting at the same time. Can you do that? So something comes in through your nose and you gotta spit it right back out, you know, and that's exactly what translating is. So if God begins to move in your life or in your heart and you're wanting to have a moment of kind of, "God, is this really you speaking?" You got to continue to translate. I mean, you know, God's working in you. You're translating. So that's how I found myself up there when he made the following statement. He reminded us as a church, we did not go to this passage, but he said, when Isaac and Abraham and the servants left the next morning and they launch out to go sacrifice Isaac, Isaac points out to his dad, "Hey, the wood and the fire is here. But where's the sacrifice?" And what was Abraham's response? "God will provide." And as I sat there and I translated, I knew I was in trouble. I knew that God was speaking to me. And I knew that very moment that I was done giving God excuses of how he was going to do this, of why this wasn't the excuse that I had, it wasn't a good idea, wasn't flying anymore. And at that moment, unbeknownst to me, but both of us finally surrendered. Mandy was already ready. I was the one dragging my feet. But I finally surrendered. And the next day, we reapplied. As Lord would have it, the following day, by Tuesday, we were approved. So when we got together with Pastor and Bev on that Thursday, and we shared with them, and we're like, I don't think this is heartburn. This is for real God giving us a direction in this way. And we prayed and we left, and then we began to share that by the end of the week, God began to show his hand of provision, to quiet my fear of how are we going to get there? And how are we going to pay for all this? And it was incredible to see him display in such a miraculous way, not only through people donating miles to buying T-shirts with that you'll see in a little bit with the thought of, you know, that the slogan that Mandy chose of love never failing, of people just simply giving. And that was so humbling and amazing. The other miracle that God used, and in case you don't know, I did spend 12 years working for Chrysler Motors. And that's how we ended up in South Florida, working for them. I oversaw this market for a good amount of time. So I resigned Chrysler and I started working here. But throughout my 12 years there, I heard about this thing in America called pensions. They're not where I'm from, so I asked, hey, do I have a pension? And three times I was told, that is no longer done. You came right after that. So for 12 years, three different times I asked, hey, is there a pension? No, you don't have one. Well, out of the blue, because I don't know what else to say, last October, we get a letter in the mail, and it says Fiat Chrysler. You know, they went through the bankruptcy, and so the letter said, hey, if you have a pension, okay, no wonder they went bankrupt. No, I'm just kidding. just kidding. You have a pension. If you don't do anything, you'll get a check until from the time you're 65 until you die, or if you want, you can have a lump sum right now and have a nice life. We'll never see you again. And I'm like, well, I never knew I had this. And we knew exactly what that was for. And when Pastor Comfort said, the moment that Abraham stepped out on faith, which is a statement that I knew I never heard before from Genesis 22, God started to send the supply on the other side. And I had never heard that before. And I was under so much conviction that I began to simply wave the white flag and say, okay, God, I surrender. I'm out of excuses. If you're calling us to this, you're going to lead us. And to see God use his people, my old employer, it's all for his glory. And so it brings us to the question of, man, what can actually stop God? And the thought that we learned was God doesn't truly call the able, but he enables a call for whatever. You know, I am not the one that thinks he ought to be standing back here tonight. But God enables. I don't know why God allowed us to go halfway across the world 12 hours ahead of time to redeem, and thank you, Brother Malcolm, for picking that song, redeem a child from a life of who knows what. But God has put us in that position to be a blessing. The incredible part of it is that another fear we had was, how can we possibly love a stranger? How can that even come through our ears, our head, our ourselves? How can we love a stranger? And this is really the challenge that he really began to do away with in our lives. And that's where I want to bring your attention to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, but actually go right before that to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31. Because if we are to answer, truly answer, and this is the lesson tonight, that if we were to truly answer the question that love never fails, and how can we truly love a stranger? Didn't God love you before you were lovely? He sure loved me before that. See, it's interesting, and we've learned to be gracious. I'm being transparent. We've had strangers at stores when they heard we're going to China to go adopt. They're like, have you met her? And we're like, no. And then they give you this look like, are you crazy? You know? And they could not understand what would possess us to spend time, emotions, and money to go to the other side of the world to adopt a girl that we've never met. Ever. And it every time it gave us an opportunity to witness Christ, to share the love of Christ. Because that's exactly where it starts. We cannot do what we have done and continue to do without His love. And you cannot do or go out by faith to do anything that God puts in your life without His love in your heart first. It's interesting because that's exactly what this passage challenges us with. So if we can start in verse 31 of chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, the Bible says, but covet earnestly the best gifts. You see, Paul has been building this case since chapter 1. And if you're looking for something fun to do this summer, and you got time in your hands, and you want to sit for a day and read through the book of 1 Corinthians, it'll take you a few hours, but what a blessing. See, he builds his case, and he's building to culminate in the last chapter of proving who Christ is. But in between, he's speaking to this Gentile church. And what I mean by that is, they did not even know about the Ten Commandments before they were saved. They worship everything and anything. Corinth is like when you combine Vegas and Miami, all in one location. That was Corinth. Every sin, every religion was available right there and then. So he is building the foundation to make this point that he's about to make. And he comes here and he says, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. What is that excellent way? That's when you got to start in chapter 13, verse 1. Here's the excellent way. And again, when you see the word charity, switch it to love. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not love, the Bible says, I become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. In other words, if I can be an excellent speaker, like a lawyer, like a sales and marketing rep, like a Sunday school teacher, an altar worker, whatever, but have not love, I am literally like a dull instrument that is without use or of any benefit. That's the more excellent way that Paul's referring to here. And so when it comes to what possesses you to go across the oceans and go to a place that you can't communicate in your native tongue to do what you've done, it starts with this love right there. No other explanation. And when we continue in verse 2, it says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith. Hey, I had the faith to go, but even faith is not enough. And he continues and says, so that I could remove mountains. Isn't that what Jesus said? If we have the faith of a mountain, a mustard seed, which is super tiny, and have not love, I am nothing. So in other words, if I can be an evangelist, a teacher, a pastor, a high degree educated individual, whether it's from Harvard or Pensacola, maybe not Bob Jones, I'm just kidding. Even Bob Jones, okay? I went there, that's why. If I have faith to go and adopt, if I have faith to go and obey God every single moment, and yet I don't have love, I am nothing. He's basically describing what love is not. And yet when you compare this list of what love is, and I know there was a song, and please don't start singing it now, what's love got to do with all those other love songs that you hear in the world, there's no comparing. The paradigm that the world presents of what love ought to be, we fall in love, we fall out of love, that is nothing like what God presents. And the reason for it is because it was His love that put His Son on the cross. It was His love that loved me before I was lovely. And that was the redeeming thought that I had throughout all the 2 weeks that we were in China. And those questions kept coming up in my mind of family and friends and strangers saying, how can you love someone whom you never met? Here's a kicker. How can you love someone who doesn't have your DNA? I'm not asking you made up questions. This is literally what came out of people's mouth. And it gave us an opportunity every single time we can love, because love is a decision, just like God decided to love us from the very beginning. He's not willing for anyone to perish. His love is eternal, and it is a decision that he made for us. Therefore, we can make for him as well as those around us. There's no surprise in that. And so when Paul continues in verse 3 and explaining what love is not, it says that, and though I give away all my goods to feed the poor. And I have family member that this is literally they think that this is their way to heaven. And though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Zero. In other words, if like Warren Buffett or Bill Gates or the other billionaire club now that are signing off their wealth to give away between now and after they die, the Bible says it is of no profit. In a financial statement, that shows a big zero at the bottom. You can't take it with you. It is of no benefit. God sees us as filthy rags, the Bible says. And so when we understand that the world tries to portray one thing and the Bible's teaching something completely different, we can see and understand that we can love because he first loved us. So then look at the next few verses explaining what love is. Verse 4 says, love suffers long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. In other words, love suffers to the degree of taking a family from comfort to discomfort. Love is kind even in the middle of a frustration of being able to communicate with a child that you can't communicate with. Love is trying to give out love even when it's not being asked for. The moment we met Piper, one of the first phrases that we learned was, how do we say we love you? And our Chinese friend taught us is the best way to remember is, woman, I need, but just drop the ED at the end. So if you want to learn it, is woman, I need. That's how you say we love you. So the first day we met Piper, we said, woman, I need. And she looked at us. Okay. And we moved on. Every day we said this. And in our culture, where we are all from, when you say I love you, usually you want to hear it back, right? So we were even teaching her, okay, say I love you. And that one she would say, I love you. But she had no clue what she was saying, right? But to God's glory, right before we left, she for the first time said, woman, I need. On her own, you know? Now we can get her. No, I'm just kidding. We love it. But it was amazing that even though we chose to love her, and we would explain that to people, and it's hard to understand and comprehend, and we would express it to her, she was, why do these people love me? It's funny because one day she even asked, I think the third or fourth day, she asked the translator, these people don't look like me. Are they foreigners? I mean, the heart of a five-year-old, right? But yet, that is only what God can do. That's only God. Then if you continue looking at our verses here, that in verse 5, the Bible says that love does not behave itself unseemly. It seeketh not her own. It's not easily provoked. It thinketh no evil. Love is humble. It's unselfish. It's gentle. It doesn't assume any evil around it. You know, we don't know what was going through her mind. We don't know if she thought we were going to hurt her or not. And so we had to learn how to express love by our actions and our words. But yet, that's exactly what the love of God is. The love of God is realizing that if you're called to do something by faith, and you have no idea how that's going to come about, but you know that if you don't, you're disobeying. And yet, how do you get from here to there? All you have is His word that tells you He will not forsake you. All you have is His love to remind you that, hey, I've got this. Just trust me. I mean, think about it. God's word is described as a lamp unto my feet. How far can you see with a lamp? Last lamp I used, I can't see very far. It's just enough for that next step and the next step and the next step. And that's exactly what walking by faith is. That's exactly what love will sustain. That God's love will sustain you through each and every step. In verse 5, when it says that it thinketh no evil, it doesn't think that God, it's not looking at how is God going to hurt me through this. Because if you've heard me speak, one of my biggest fear is failure. I don't like to fail. It keeps me from a lot. And I don't want to say, hey, we're going to adopt and then fail. I don't want to be on my own strength. It was scary. But yet, when the Lord put that peace and that assurance, then failure was no longer an option. And the questions would come up with, well, what if she does this and what if she does? I don't know. What if she doesn't love us? That was one of the fears that came up. Well, I don't know. All we got to do is love her and hopefully she'll love in return, right? But that's exactly His promises. That we are to be, that He's going to love us in that same way. And so when we read in verse 6, it rejoices. Love rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. What is the truth? The truth of the Word of God. The truth that, you know, that it doesn't assume that that evil is going to come through whatever God is calling us, but that He is separating us from sin unto the truth. It encourages us to be able to confront a loved one and say, if something doesn't change and you are not born again, you will spend an eternity in hell. That's a love that carries a person across the street or across the world to share the gospel. And it's so encouraging to see Brother Nelson just come back, and I'm not sure if he's here tonight, and Brother Ricardo and Damaris, that they were out of town encouraging the folks in Panama and Ecuador. But that's what carried us to those locations, to preach the truth of the Word of God. Look, if you may, in verse 7, the culmination right before the conclusion. Verse 7 says that love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. In other words, it prepares for the best. And it makes a preparation and the anticipation for the best. But it's ready for the worst as well. Because sometimes obedience is not, everything doesn't fall in line. And God is never early or late. He's just in time. And for some of us, that drives us crazy, doesn't it? You're like, God, can you get your act together and show up here? I mean, honestly. But may I remind you a lesson that Pastor used to use? I have Jesus for this. You know, and that's the practical aspect of God's word. That whatever He is calling us, He has us. Sure, there's been challenges and difficult moments, a huge expenditure of emotions, time, and money. But man, we honestly cannot think of our lives without her now. And it's only been 4 weeks since we've physically been together. That's why Paul concludes, and the theme of our journey has been, love never fails. Because it truly doesn't. Love truly does not fail. But that's only possible because of His love for us. It's interesting that Paul reiterated the point so strongly that if you jump ahead to verse 13 in chapter 13, verse 13, look what it says. And now abideth faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. But why is that possible? If you are reminded of John 15:13, Christ said, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And I don't know if you as a Christian have asked, why do you care for other people? I've had Catholics ask, why do you Baptists, do you actually like other people? I had a Jewish lady on a plane once ask me, why do Christians love Jewish people? My answer every single time is because the Bible says so. Because if it was for me, no. If it was for me, I wouldn't love a lot of people. Just kidding. But if it wasn't for me, there's not enough love in my life to be able to share that way. But it's only because of God. It's only because of Him that we can do that. Because He first did it for us. Both of our translators individually in two different cities ask, why do so many Christians adopt? Same answer. Because God loved us. And He talks about adoption in the way that He buys us, He redeems us. That nothing can separate us from that love. God Himself said, for God so loved the world that He gave. He didn't wait for you to show up. He didn't wait for like a transaction for you to bring something to offer Him. He gave. I had a person this year ask me, hey, what does the Bible talk about sharing? And the more I thought about it, I couldn't come up with a thought of sharing. God doesn't share. He gives. Do you know that's not a communistic concept of giving? That's a very capitalistic concept. That He gave. He gives just like we are called to give. With what? With nothing in return. And so in those lessons that we learn, the culmination, the only reason why all this is possible is for what we are reminded in Romans 5:28. But God commendeth His love towards us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In that moment, God did not wait for us to fix ourselves. God did not wait for us to, what can we bring to His benefit? We did not go into this. What can Piper bring as a benefit to us? And they didn't like our answer because we were not waiting for that. We did not go into this with that. We went to it in obedience because we wanted to love and have an impact for eternity in the life of a young person. Now, however, we see the great benefit she is and the love that she gives. And some of you have had a chance to meet her, and you're telling me that she is melting your hearts, and I praise the Lord for that. She's melting mine, okay? But I ask you this two questions. Is God calling you, or has He called you to something that is so ridiculous that only faith can accomplish? Is God moving your life, and you know what I'm talking about? And trust me, your spouse did not tell me to say this. This is the Holy Spirit speaking in your heart. What is God calling you to do or obey Him in that you haven't yet? Because to be honest with you, the thought of a Nunez, like my grandfather said, there's going to be a Chinese Nunez? Yes. Can you imagine that? How ridiculous is that, right? But can I remind you, Christ as God hanging on the cross, that's pretty ridiculous. The Jewish people even say so. That's not how their Messiah was supposed to die. But yet, that's how it was prophesied. So what's God calling you that is so ridiculous? It could be either awful or awesome, right? But that's what faith is. Because there truly is nothing better. There truly isn't. And then the second question I have for you is, are you missing out on a blessing And hear me when I ask this. Are you missing out on a blessing because of disobedience? And I have to be, I have to ask this in with a contrite heart. Because there's, I cannot imagine not being blessed by Piper if we would have disobeyed that day. Or even before that. I cannot imagine. We actually rejected her file at first read. And God used a family that we've met in Miami, the Chases, they were on the picture, to really be an encouragement because they've adopted two girls from China. And God used them at the right time. Guess where I met them? At the Christmas lights. Parking cars. And God molded our hearts together, and they have been able to lead us in a lot of practical ways. But that's how God has supplied. Even when we didn't think we needed something, He was there. So what's keeping you from obeying and stepping out of faith? What blessing can be withheld right now because you're not stepping out in obedience? Remember, the moment you step out is the moment that God will send the supply. Not a minute early, not a minute late, but right on time. Let's pray.